Russell Crowe made an appearance on a recent episode of the Joe Rogan podcast. And in it, he was telling this story of synchronicity. It was a powerful, heartfelt, magical event with his mother and Rome and the Vatican. And if you tried to recreate what happened, you couldn't. The odds are impossible. So we call this a synchronicity. And as Russell was talking about with Joe, they both agreed that, there's something real going on here. In this episode of the Sober Shaman podcast, we will be exploring how these synchronicities happen. What are the intentions, the ingredients that go into it that we can understand, that we can influence, that we can help make happen so that our lives get better, our health gets better, and we can aim these things specifically for improving our mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health and breaking cycles of addiction. Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Thanks for joining me here for another episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast, number 21, I believe I'm up to now. And we'll be talking about, as I said in the intro, Russell Crowe on the Joe Rogan podcast. They were both talking about synchronicities and these events and how there's something real going on here. Something real is pulling the string. Something real is orchestrating. And they were alluding to, not really going into, the idea that this would be spirits or it's spiritual. And in one place where they openly talked about this was in Russell's career in film. And Russell said, well, you know, I've always listened to the film gods. And they both kind of chuckled. And then they went, no. I really listened to the film gods. And again, there's something real here. They were wondering aloud. And as I know, maybe you do too, Joe Rogan is experienced with psychedelics. And many people who are going through psychedelic experiences for the first time, I'm going to do a whole podcast on this one. This psychedelic renaissance is getting funneled through. This is one of my points where I'm not so crazy about it, even though I'm totally for the use of psychedelics in the healing of trauma and breaking addictions, is that the whole thing is getting funneled through psychology so that it's the systems we live in, right? So that they can be reproduced, so that it can pray at the altar of science, it can get funding, it can be used legally so that we can help thousands of people who it has been shown to dramatically reduce their time in therapy, dramatically increase the effectivity of their therapy, whatever it is. It works. My point is, and also, many of these people are experiencing what we don't have language for, or we've lost language for, the spirit. And specifically here in the West, due to the religious oppression of the last few centuries, we don't have connection to our rightful spiritual heritages. And so that's one of the primary focuses of the sober shaman, is to reconnect people with their natural abilities, their God-given rights, to reconnect to their own version of the film gods, to use Russell Crowe's example. Going back to that, his whole career, looking back on it, he's able to say now, just turned 60, I believe, it was because he was guided by and listened to and took the guidance from, as he put it, the film gods. There was an innate power, knowing in the bones, as I like to say, that Russell absolutely, without waver, trusted. And so here's the thing. And of course, I always bring this back to addiction and trauma and mental health. And I'll speak for myself first and foremost, and clients who have validated and echoed my own experience, which is that in addiction, in active addiction, what ends up happening is there is a yearning for more. Obviously, right? We talk about that in more of the substance or action of choice. And at the same time, for me especially, there was a yearning for more of a particular experience that went into created, received the benefits from these kinds of synchronicities. I'll give you a concrete example. So back in the day, when everybody played guitar, I played guitar. And in the bands that I was in, specifically, I would pretty consciously not play a song the same way twice. Why? Because, and I can articulate this now, I couldn't articulate it as much then, couldn't articulate a lot of things then. So I'm a little better now, decades later. I was shooting for the magic. And the magic I'm talking about here was, all right, didn't play the song the same way twice because I was reaching for magic. I was reaching for those incidences where this confluence of events happens and all of these inputs to where when they come together, you just, whoa, what was that? It's like that ringing a bell, bing. There's a truth there where anybody with eyes to see, something is special happening here. And that's something special. Probably happened, I'm just going to pick a number. It's low, let's say 5% of the time. So 95% of the time, I wouldn't play the song the same way. And it maybe wasn't as good as if I just did my part the way it was structured and quote unquote supposed to be played. But because I was reaching, because I was striving, always for more. I was shooting for that magic, shooting for those unexplainable events that happened due to this, whatever you want to call it. Now I call it the intervention of spirit. Well, you can also say that the 95% of the time, not playing the song the same way twice, and being influenced by other spirits of drugs and alcohol and all other addictions going on at the same time, right? Okay, so there is absolutely a participation that we bring to a synchronicity. We bring to a magic moment. I'm using that term on purpose, right? Because I do use that in the cycle of addiction also, where there is that magic moment right before the doing of our drug of choice, where everything is right with the world. In order to make these magic moments, we're bringing very clear intention, and we're bringing all of the other components that go into and make up the results we're trying to achieve, and at the same time, leaving plenty of space for what we can't comprehend ha to happen. Because if we get what we want, well, we might be not getting what we need, so to speak, right? And what we need might be so much bigger than what, speak for myself, my tiny little pea brain could possibly want. And this is the beauty of spirit. This is the beauty of this kind of synchronicity. And going back to Russell Crowe's story, he couldn't have imagined this before. Yeah, I won't go into the whole story, but these events happened because he c convinced his mother to come with him to Rome, to the Vatican, because in Rome they treat him like a returning king because of the movie Gladiator. And he gets all the, not just because he's a movie star, but because of Italy and because what he's seen as in Italy. And so he convinced his mom to come, and his mom didn't want to come because Rome specifically reminded her of her passed away husband, Russell's father. And she didn't want to feel all of those raw feelings. So anyway, he did convince her to go, and she went. And in the Vatican, all of these things are happening, and the point of the tip point of his story is that he hears music playing in the distance, and it's the Royal Vatican Orchestra, whatever the proper name is for that, and they're playing Danny Boy. Now, when asked about this later, there wasn't anybody in the Vatican that validated that. They don't know. They do Italian music. They do Italian religious music. They weren't playing Irish Danny Boy. And why that's significant was because that was a song that they played at Russell's father, his mother's husband's funeral. And there were all these other things happening that were just, you can't plan this stuff while they were there in this particular moment in the Basilica. And boom, Danny Boy's playing. The timing, and that seems to be a critical component. And something that I'll talk about more in a future episode about time and how it is linear and it is cyclic at the same time, right? That's one of those things about yin yang perspective. It can be opposites, linear, and it could be totally dependent upon each other and cyclic at the same time. All right, let's move into the how do we create these synchronicities more often, and how can we apply them for our health and breaking the cycle of addiction and all other forms of health? no matter where we are in our recovery. One of the things that needs to happen and that I focus on here at the Sober Shaman is learning to listen. For me, this is one of the basic foundational components of shamanism, spirituality, and at the same time, this basic component is a skill that is part of practice that goes on, in my opinion, for the rest of my life. To be getting better and to fix where I've slid backwards and not listening so much. Okay. This kind of listening, I propose to you, is innate as a human, which leads to this type of yearning. When I was saying that I was always going for more, always going for that extra 5%, always going for that magic. This was one of the reasons why I took drugs erroneously, but that because I was shooting for that magic to happen, and I mistakenly thought that in the ingestion of especially seriously mind-altering drugs, hallucinogenics, let's go to New York City, meet weird people, and watch the synchronicities that happen and unfold and all the odd magic. Not a recommended recipe, especially in the 80s when things were completely nuts. And at the same time, it definitely happened. Because the intention was there, because the yearning was there, it was definitely too much. And in two incidences in my life, it led to psychosis, absolutely. And in one incident, a pretty serious psychotic break, to which I get to joke about now, and many of my dear friends who know about it get to explain why I am the way I am. And at the same time, one of the deepest pains existentially of my life is still that incident that happened a long time ago and still lives with me to this day. And the reason why it happened was because I was so focused and intent on shooting for that more, in shooting for an experience of spirit, of connection, of this reality, of this knowing of this reality. I'm happy to say there are other ways, safer, healthier, a shamanic journey, for example, of reaching these realities, getting this kind of knowing, and bringing back safely, cleanly, knowledge, information, and healing power that we can then apply in our ordinary reality lives. So, learning to listen. How do you listen? And how do you then interpret what is applicable and what is not? Again, well, let me use this example. I heard someone say, and I thought this was very wise and very accurate, that someone from my generation said, all I heard my peers and my parents say, baby boomers, I want to give my kids more. I want them to have more than what I had. And that was one of the guiding ethos of being a parent, of the American dream, of this idea that I want to provide more for my kids so that they don't have to go what I went through. What I heard this person say was completely the opposite, because it is kind of completely the opposite nowadays. And he said, you know what? I don't want that. I want to give my kids less than what I have, because it's flip-flopped. Kids nowadays have too much. Kids nowadays, and not even kids, but just young adults still, anybody who's come up with screens has too much. They have too much information. It's you turn on the screen and you have talking heads. You can find any subject you want and pretty much anybody to validate, maybe the bubble you're living in, or somebody who is maybe at the edge of your bubble that can introduce you to something new, or somebody completely opposite of what you think. And it's at the push of a button. It's so easy. So, kids, young adults nowadays have too much. And it's an overwhelm. How do you listen when you're overwhelmed? That's a big question. That goes to anxiety, that speaks to depression, because those are overwhelming emotions. When the cravings are hitting, overwhelm. How do you listen in those moments of overwhelm? Scrolling may not seem like it at the time. It's a form of overwhelm. Look at the input that's going in. So, this learning to listen, first and foremost, has to be established by turning off overwhelming input. We have to flip so that the listening becomes more sensitive. We can't be sensitive when we're overwhelmed with input. We can only begin to develop our sensitivities once the overwhelm, any boundaries of any filters of having to keep the overwhelm at bay, can relax, can be brought down. I go to the middle of the woods to be alone. Okay, it's a great statement. How long does that last? Because once we go to the middle of the woods to be alone, we realize how not alone we are. And in that shift from the overwhelm of the everyday, of the screens, of the electronics, to the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere with no service, or at least the phone being off, if you are, and no buzzing, no notification, leave the phone in the car, whatever. Just get a few minutes out there where there's nothing. When this happens, and the listening is able to then become more sensitive, you realize how not alone you are because of all of the little critters, of walking around in British Columbia, some of the big critters, and being aware that, hey, I'm not at the top of the food chain out here, right? And it changes perspective immediately. Very interesting. These are ways that we need to, and that's a natural ability. It's a natural ability that is completely turned off when we are in the middle of our safe bubbles of accommodations and accommodating food, and all our needs are met. And things are thrown at us more and more and more that we don't need. But maybe, maybe that's better. Maybe I should look at that. Maybe I should read this. Maybe I should scroll on that. So this is the first thing, turning off and learning to listen. from a place that can only happen when we are not overwhelmed immediately upon our senses. That's the first thing. The second thing is learning to listen through our senses in a different way. And I'm being a little bit ambiguous on this because I don't want to influence how you listen, because how you listen and receive this kind of information from spirit, being followed by, to being guided by your own version of Russell Crowe's The Film Gods, how you learn to do this won't be the same way that Russell uses, won't be the same way that I use. Maybe you'll have a completely different way that you don't know anybody else who uses. I will give you one example. When I was doing body work regularly, I would consistently say to somebody, maybe a peer in the field, well, what I saw with my fingers, and maybe I would say this with a client, and in sessions where I was out of my own way and really listening good, the client would have an experience of saying to me, why'd you ask that question? How did you know that about me? I never told you about that that happened in my past and trauma and all that. Where'd you get that? I heard it through my fingers. Now, that sounds like woo-woo magic, right? It's listening. It's listening and experience. By having enough hours and experience under my belt of feeling and perceiving something a certain way, this is pure logic and just science and makes total sense. You know what? 9 out of the last 10 people who had this kind of feeling in my fingertips had this kind of thing going on. Hey, let me just ask, by any chance, excuse me, by any chance, when you were a kid, did you have X, Y, and Z happen? How'd you know that? Well, 9 out of 10 times. Or you know what? Maybe 3 out of 10 times. Hey, I don't need to be right. I'm asking questions. I'm learning to listen. So, listening in different ways, having senses cross. And this is not synesthesia in a sense of the word being pathological. This is these senses crossing, combining in a normal, innate way that you listen, that you understand, that you experience. And when you do this with spirit on a shamanic journey, and you know that there's a truth being conveyed to you in ways that don't happen here in ordinary reality, most of the time, we do not see our helping and compassionate spirit. Let's say it's a bird of some type. Their beak isn't going to be moving with the words eloquently articulated, usually. Maybe yours are. What ends up happening is, it's like, wow, when I was on the back of my blue jay, when I was merged with Jay, I knew, because it was showing me, it was telling me, oh, Randy, how was it telling you? Did you see its beak? No, I didn't see. I knew. How'd you know it was telling you? Well, because it showed me pretty blatantly, pretty obviously, that from this, that's why we were flying together. That's why I was merged with it flying, so I could get a bird's eyes view. Or maybe because Jay is so articulate with its squawk that it was able to squawk to me very clearly what I need to do. Again, learning to listen in a way that is going to be right for you. How do you trust your helping and compassionate spirits in the beginning? How do you know whether it's right? Well, sometimes during the journey, it will be like ringing a bell of truth, and you know it in your bones, and that's just the way it is. It speaks to your heart, boom. Other times, you will get specific messages for you to carry out here in ordinary reality, and you're not going to know if they're right, if they're truth, until you do it. And then, even while you're doing it, you might be bringing along a healthy dose of skepticism. Good. You should. You shouldn't blatantly trust if everything is new to you. How do I know if this is right? Try it. Science. Apply it. Does it work? Good. Put that in your toolbox and do it again. Keep using it. And then when it doesn't work, why doesn't it work? Was it because I used it in the wrong way? Or was it because maybe the time has come for this tool to be put in the toolbox for a little while because I'm growing and I'm ready for a new tool? You'll only know that by learning to listen. And then if you're unsure of, oh, which one it is, you can always go back to your helping and compassionate, trusted spirit and say, which one is it? Please tell me. Please show me. So, turning off the overwhelm, learning to listen. Number two, how do you listen? How do you become more sensitive? What are going to be the senses that are best for you? Do you hear? Do you see? Do you do? Do you feel? What are the ways that information, knowledge, and power are communicated to you during a journey in non-ordinary reality? The third one I'll talk about in this episode of the podcast will be merging. Now, this is a big subject, and generally speaking, it's a shamanic term that happens in other models of spirituality and in forms of deep prayer when other ritualistic endeavors are taking place, whether they're forms of deprivation, right, fasting, for example. And our consciousness gets altered, we become merged with our helping and compassionate spirit. When this happens, I and the other are one. We use this in the Sober Shamans program, and we have some guided journeys that have this happen, specifically when we're dealing with forgiveness. How do we forgive? I like to use this as maybe one of the first ways to introduce merging. Also, merging happens spontaneously, to where I'll use Jay once again, Blue Jay specifically. It's like, well, I don't know what happened. I was flying on top of the J, and then, well, I was in the J. I was the J. I was seeing out through J's eyes. I was feeling the feathers. I was feeling the air and the wind as I was flying. How could I do that? Well, you can do this in non-ordinary reality when you are merged with your helping and compassionate spirit. And when you are merged, often in shamanic tradition, this is the only way certain healing abilities can be performed in this state of merging and from this place of merging, whether you're doing it in non-ordinary reality, merged with your spirit, or you bring that merged experience back here with you into ordinary reality and then carry out the healing in ordinary reality from a place of merging so that the spirit is moving through you. It's a little different than being a conduit because you're in, it's not necessarily that there's me and I'm letting it flow through me, although it may feel like that and often look very similar to that and could be that if that is your experience, as opposed to I and the other are one. And from this place, I and the other as one are doing this healing. I'm not going to talk more about how that healing can appear. I will talk about how we use this merge state in the Sober Shamans program and specifically in shamanic rites. One of the ways to perform shamanic writing and to do the writing prompts is from this merged place. I love this. And learning how to listen to where I am getting out of the way enough to allow from this merged place, in this case, because I keep using Blue Jay, to do the speaking in the form of my writing it down and answering that prompt and being guided by the drums and having the drums keep me merged and writing and going until I am called by the drums to stop. Disengage, demerge, send my thanks into, again, this case, Blue Jay, release Blue Jay back into non-ordinary reality. And I come 100% in my body, demerged, me, I, nothing left over, but I have the writing from Blue Jay there on the page. And from that place, I can then continue with the writing from a place of me, from a place of I, and I still also have the experience and the memory living within me of what it was like to be merged, what it was like to allow that merging to move through me. In the form of writing, it's completely different than me, I answering the prompt. And this is one of the clear differences between, again, I'm going to use the term shamanism, shamanic rites. It's just a name I'm giving to this. I'm using for this. Traditions have been using. Chances are many of these traditions didn't call it shamanism. And the reason is because these are our innate abilities that we were disconnected from because of the religious persecution that happened, especially in the West, that disconnected us, that told us. You don't really have that ability, and or that ability's not good. It's headed in the wrong direction, and or wait a minute, we're the authorities. We're the only ones with that ability. You don't have it. Show up on Saturday or Sunday or Friday night or Tuesday. Oh, and I just watched this George Carlin clip once again. And for whatever reason, God is also always short on cash. So, put the money in the box. Love that George Carlin clip about God. No, these are our innate God-given abilities that connect us to whatever you want to call God, spirit, your religion. I love aspects of my Catholicism. I am completely disconnected from many of the major parts of Catholicism for many of the reasons why most people are disconnected from theirs, whether it's Catholicism or other religions. I talk about this in the Losing My Religion post, if you want to look, it's just a few back. But I also love certain aspects of it. And I am fine with bringing that in and incorporating that into my shamanism. Because these are normal, natural, innate abilities, desires. Again, my desire to want to shoot for the magic, never play the song the same way twice, to open up. To unknowingly create a little ritual that I was inviting in spirit magic to manifest. I didn't need, as I thought then, the quote unquote enhancement of these other substances to make it happen. They forced things to happen when they did. So I erroneously thought, oh, it happened because I took those things. No. In some cases, psychosis, and yes, absolutely. But I don't need to do it that way. The intention to shoot for that magic is innate. I believe it's innate. And normal in all of us. And I believe that whether it is a yearning in you or not, I propose that if and when you have this experience of spirit, of feeling the synchronicity, of recognizing the synchronicity, of how this synchronicity in your life may be spirit, your religion, something real. Reaching out from the other side of the veil, knocking at your door. How do you listen? How do you answer? How do you interpret? I like the language of spirit. I like the language of this is all normal, whether we call it shamanism or whether we call it your God-given natural abilities that fit into your religion, that fit into your atheism. What do you think of that? I love working with atheists, scientists, because when we are open enough to recognize what the other person is saying, usually there is an overlap of our languages of truth that we can agree upon, that we can say, look at that. Isn't that interesting? How do we explain it? I have these. Terms and languages. Oh, I have these terms and languages, but guess what? They're both true at the same time, even though we're saying completely opposite things. Isn't that wonderful? All right. So there is my, for this episode, I'll summarize quick the three things you can take away in order to pump up. Your ability to have synchronicity happen, to have spirit knock at your door. Number one, remove the overload. Turn off the screens and whatever the too much of whatever you're taking in. Stop it. What's the saying, right? If your boat's sinking, first thing you gotta do is plug the bottom. If you If you find yourself in, yeah, that's this is the one. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Stop the overload. That's number one. Number two, learn to listen. Trust how you listen, because your way of listening during a shamanic journey may not be exactly the same as the person next to you if you're sharing your results, or if you go online, or if you talk to me, or if you talk to a group within a group of how others may be getting their information. But chances are, if you're in a group, there will be others that receive the information, listen in the same way. How do you listen? It's synesthesia, not in a pathological way. I'm seeing with my fingertips when I do body work, for example. And then the third thing, the state of merging. How then can you merge and allow? And specifically for the Sober Shamans program, to do the shamanic rites, to do the writing from this place of merging and allow your helping and compassionate spirit to do the writing for you, with you, from that merged place. Let me know what you think of this particular approach. Maybe you have some synchronicities that you'd like to share, you'd like to discuss, maybe have opened up some of your abilities, maybe have done something to crack open the possibility that there is something real out there. Maybe you've had a psychedelic experience that needs language for how this was real. That being was real. How do I bring this into a language, a new world paradigm that can help me, for health, that can help me to move forward to the next level of my practice, whatever that might be, and however that manifests. As always, please share any questions, comments, concerns you have on whichever platform you are listening, viewing this on. Send me any questions, comments, concerns, either below or directly to email. I love hearing them, I love getting them, and I'll do my best to answer them. Please hit the little like button, subscribe wherever you are, and until next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.